we go around the room and each say something short about us? What kind of information are you interested in? Do you have any clues?
Sometimes I think it's a formality that we as a woman do when sometimes abuse. I just like to hear what people want to say about themselves, but it's all right for me if people want to skip it too.
Well, you know me, so I'll repeat everything that you know.
Oh,
we're waiting.
We wanted to hear.
Honey, you were saying that we were going to start going around again with new information.
Yeah,
that you could give
right. You could just give me the upgrade.
That's decaf, you know.
Well,
how is your
name? Okay, I'll give you some of that. I'm now working for Levi Strauss & Company as a computer programmer, making bundles and going crazy. I'm basically the only woman in my office. One of the only women. There's one other. I'm doing this on my own time.
Sorry,
I'm happily married. Not always so happily, but
but frequently
but
married.
Tonight,
as you know.
Okay, next.
See, I told you I shouldn't have said
anything. Who else is married, and then we'll go.
Can I have a cup of coffee?
I do.
Yeah. Oh no.
Liz,
well, I think,
you know?
Well, maybe it's not all right. It takes a while, but it does curdle a bit.
Well, it's okay with me. I use a curdle.
I know it
still tastes sweet.
Yeah.
I got hit by a softball and I just went to L.A.
It was a very exciting life on the run.
It looks like I'm planning on doing it. My first oral history.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what else. I also make films once in a while. Once in a while, isn't it?
More than I do.
You try to do
what? We have two singers.
Can I have a cup?
A cup. Sure.
The best part of the movie.
I know, it really is.
We're lucky the whole meeting will be like,
I make films once in a while, too. Usually with her.
She did.
Although, I worked on a film in Washington, not with her.
Wow.
Filmed in March.
Oh.
I make films too, sometimes. I told you most a little bit of my history in the car, and everybody knows that, I think. The thing maybe other people don't know is that Judith Schwartz and I lived together in my first collective experience house out in the Avenues about 10 years ago.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Kidding.
No,
yeah.
I bet you didn't know that.
No, I had no idea.
A little piece of history, right?
Yeah.
I have funny stuff in my car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how we connected back up again was through tea, and I was doing, I had to write a 10-page scholarly paper to get into the film department. I had no idea what a scholarly paper was and how to, you know, do the research. So my college friends told me how to do it, and T told me to check out one of Judith's articles, I think it was in Sister Wisdom, about how to do research in the library.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really fun and fun, because I'd just been keeping contact with her through a mutual faggot friend of ours. And so I wrote her a letter and told her she had her article and helped me get into the film department, and she was excited about that. That was fun.
That's great.
And I got paid $4 an hour for chopping wood today.
Good.
Yeah, that's a pretty big job.
Oh,
yeah,
I love
that.
Where
do
you
do
that?
That's a fun thing to do, and you got paid for it too.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
Where'd you do it?
That's
nice story about this woman that chopped down, a 75-year-old woman had to chop the tree down in the backyard.
In San Francisco?
Yes, it was a whole big trauma and it needs to be taken care of. And we work together and she constantly tells me how strong I am and I love it.
I worked full time in the computer software house, doing technical support, stuff. When I have time and energy, I do this stuff. I'm very happy since I've done this for my life significantly.
And she plays second base.
And I play second base, right? And I watch Liz get hit with the ball.
That's hopefully you will only do one.
Yes. Hopefully, right. I've just been reading lesbian folk novels.
Yeah. I'm also on the softball team. We're also on the same team. And my news, shortstop. My news is that I didn't get hit at all this week.
Yeah.
She had an
accident-free week.
How's your hand?
My hand is fine, my cheek is fine, everything's fine, my thighs are fine, my knees are fine, everything's fine. I am in the graduate history department in Davis with a master's thesis in women's history and TA. And the other half of the time I spend being a very good seafood cook in a seafood restaurant.
Mm-hmm. We all tested it.
Yeah. And I've been in this group since the beginning. And I've been involved in most of the community stuff about prostitutes.
I just got back from New York.
Yay. Yay.
Happy to be back. I had a great time at the archives.
Did you stay there?
No. But I spent a day working and also went to, they have monthly things called, their event that's called Home with the Archives.
Oh, my life.
Yes.
And they're there at the Archives?
Mm-hmm. Their film showings are called Julia's World. That's what I'm, my interest is in starting.
You've actually started.
She sponsors a softball team.
Right.
Oh, that's right. The archive sponsors the team.
And you?
I have the flu. Oh.
What do I want to say about myself? Right now. And I called my mother and gave her my phone number. She was completely astounded that I even had a phone yet. Oh, God. I work at Modern Times Bookstore. And I am in the midst of writing a book with Jeff Spector. This is the male part of the
He's in the mail phone.
Gay, just your precious.
Well, I guess I don't know quite now what I should say. I think the important thing is that I'm working on this project for a year and a half, and I've been doing it with two other women. One's name is Madeline Davis, and she's a full-time librarian, and she's been a librarian for, let's say, 10, 12 years. And then the other person is Abra Michelson, and she works for the Girl Scouts. But she has been, like, she's been working there for 3 months. She just chooses a job that gives her more salary and keeps looking at it. So that's the newest one, the Girl Scouts. And myself, I work as a teacher in the university. I teach women's studies. That's what I do. And I don't think there's anything else. I've been gay 5 years. I was married and straight for a long time. And, now, we put, I mentioned Madeline and Abra because really, although I'm doing, I came, we kind of went over together what might be good things to bring here and put together. So I think we erred on the factual side and content side. So people should just interrupt as we go along. And I thought if people got shy, but it doesn't look like you're a shy group. But just in case, I would pause every 10 minutes.
Well, at least half pushy
East Coast.
I'll tell you what topics I came prepared to give you what we, I just viewed it as experience sharing, and since I was here that I would kind of summarize our experience on some important topics, and then we would kind of not just keep moving along, but try and really, you know, get reactions, and people should be told as it goes along, rather than go through the whole thing, okay?
I just want to say one thing, and I forgot to say, was that I was a lesbian in the Buffalo community for many years, and I'm just like, I'm at the edge of my chair, you know, I'm dying to hear this stuff. For me, it's sort of like high-level dishing, you know. I love it. Anyway, shoot.
Okay, these are the things that, and topics that I thought. One, the first one was format of our interviews, and then the second was questions and how we developed them. Third thing was release forms. Fourth thing was problems of doing research in your own community, which has recently become a hot topic, because we almost blew the whole project. Hesitancy of many older women to give oral histories and how we contact them would be the fifth. Bibliography six, and seventh was exciting discoveries. So that's just to give you an idea if people wanted to object or...
How about turn the order around?
Well, I'm not sure they're the best of what we have to offer, right? Because we haven't gone over that the best yet, all right? But we'll be sure there's time to get to it, all right? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, my way people would like some background on the project first.
Yeah.
Yes. Sure.
Okay. So. Okay, the thing that strikes me is we're different from this project and also the archives is that we haven't made an effort to kind of ongoingly be responsive to the community. That once a year in Gay Pride Week we do a presentation. And since we've only been going for a year and a half, that's only meant one presentation, right? It went very well last year, but part of the reason it went so well was Deb and Joan came up from New York. We did a whole afternoon thing and Deb and Joan came up and did their slideshow, and then we did an hour and a half on what we had been doing, trying to encourage people to participate. In fact, we got 4 or 5 women in their 50s to participate from that. And they were the only women in their 50s in the room. We couldn't get any other women in their 50s out, although we tried everything. So, I don't know. Right, so that means we're kind of closed. It's just the three of us. And I think we both like to be more responsible to a community and have different aspects of a project. But with Abra and Madeline working full-time jobs, and with me doing a full-time job, although I have time to do some research on lesbian history in my job, We haven't taken the risk to do it. And one of the things is, in addition to creating an archive of tapes, we want to write a book on the history of the lesbian community in Buffalo. And Madeline in particular feels that if we keep opening up and worry about creating a project that is really more integral to the community, we'll probably never end up with the book. It's an open issue in the project, we're not sure. But that's how we've solved it from now. Okay, now. We've done about interviews with 25 people. I'd say one woman's in her 70s, one woman's in her 60s, five or six are in their 50s, probably about 10 in their 40s, and the rest in their 30s, all right? And the women in their 30s, we did, as usually, entrees into sets that had older people, but we knew the older people weren't going to talk to us right away, so we went and like that. We have a few black women, one Puerto Rican and one Chicano, one Native American woman. There is not a significant Chicano, Puerto Rican, or lesbian community in Buffalo. In fact, we only know of two Puerto Rican lesbians in Buffalo. We don't know of any Chicanas other than this one woman. There are several Native American lesbians in Buffalo. They don't seem to form their own set. They're more integrated into other kind of working class sets, white working class sets, right? There is a very large black lesbian community in Buffalo, and we haven't gotten into it yet. We are not, we will not have a hard entry. As for instance, the woman that I go with has spent two relationships ago, was 5 years with a black woman. She lived in the black community. Several other people who have been supportive to the project are in the same situation. We know we'll get the first interviews. Whether we're going to get beyond that is very hard to say. The black women that we've interviewed so far are black women who move in the white community. And well, I'll just throw in one of the things in terms of discoveries or things that surprised us is, as to relate to this, that we are amazed at how little white women can tell you about black lesbian life in Buffalo. It is shocking. We're really surprised. And in fact, women who've told us about the 40s swear that there were no black lesbians in Buffalo in the 40s. And you know it's not true, right? So, but we don't know, have any idea where they were, where they were hanging out or anything, right? Okay,
I think that's all I thought of.
Oh, one other thing in background, and then you'll see if I did background enough. After we did our first 20 interviews, we stopped for about 5 months, and we did kind of trying to figure out where we were at. Because when we started, we were so amazed in what people were telling us on the tapes that we just would be jumping up and down after we finished each interview, right? But then after 20, we realized that people had so much more to tell us than we were getting, and there was clearly something wrong with our method that we weren't doing as well as we could have. And so that's why we stopped. And what we did when we stopped was we tried to improve our questions and be much more thorough about it, and then I'll tell you how we did that, because it might be helpful to you all. We tried to improve our interview format as well. We finally finalized what we were going to do as for a release form, since we'd already done 20 interviews without one. What else do we do? And we tried something which might not be your problem yet, but we weren't, you know, we do these 20 interviews, and we don't have, I don't know how you all are getting yours transcribed, but it's a very expensive process. And so we haven't got the majority of our interviews transcribed, and so we were out of touch with what was on those tapes, and so we tried to figure out a way to have a system where we could at least know in general the important things on tapes, because once they're in tapes and you have 7 hours of interviews with one person, we would forget what was on it. It was very bad, and so you wouldn't be building on it for the next interview. So we've gotten a way where we try to, after some person does a interview, it goes to somebody else in the project to put on 4 or 5 note cards, what seems important, and then that person presents it to the three of us, the next meeting so that it's fresh in all our minds, and then we have the note cards. That's what we're doing. Who knows if it's going to work, right? Which I should tell you, we meet once every 2 weeks, except when work gets too much and we meet once a week. Sometimes we're behind on what we're responsible to, and so. Any questions on background before you go on?
Yes. Did you see the next one? Did you see the next one?
Okay, interview format. The main problem that we had was, how did you balance asking concrete questions to people so that you'd learn more about lesbian life with keeping the tone of an oral history? Do you know what I mean? Because it could turn into a social science investigation. You want to know and you keep asking questions. And then what could happen in the tone of the tape is that it really becomes more of a question and answer, even though somebody could answer for 10 minutes. It's not like they give you shorthand. It's not really an oral history in the sense of people controlling their own story and telling a lot of different stories, you know. And that's been a real plague for us, and I don't know if you've run into it at all, but sometimes the more we want to know about the 40s, the more concrete questions we ask, and then it really becomes kind of like a question and answer instead of a person's oral history. And I don't think we've resolved it the best way, but I'll tell you how we have. The way we've done it is we don't have a set interview format. And we have topics and questions under those topics, but you don't go to an interview and ask those questions under the topics. What we do is that we try to, like in preparing for an interview, you go over your long set of questions, and they're pretty long, and then you try and keep them in your head, and then it's your job to mesh them with the person's life who you're interviewing. And how we begin to set up that contact with who, so we come to know the person we're interviewing in their own terms, is we ask three general questions at the beginning of an interview. The first one is, what do you think it's important for us to include in a book on lesbian lives or lesbian community? And that kind of often, some people will be not too talkative, but a lot of people really kind of tell you a lot in response to that question. And it helps you as an interviewer begin to know who the person is, and so that you're not really interviewing them, but you're letting them set their story with you kind of clarifying things in it. The other two questions are, what do you think are the turning points in the history of the lesbian community in Buffalo? And the third question is, what do you think are the turning points in your life? So, the reason why we chose those two questions as opening general ones is that it helps us and the narrator think historically, you know, so that they're beginning to think about their life and in a historical terms. It also allows us to know what they think is the development for their life, because otherwise we found ourselves coming in and asking questions on a topic, and then we wouldn't ask the questions in terms of any time period. We'd say, well, what do you think about this, or what do you think about the bars and the boys, but we couldn't mesh with their lives. And this way we have some kind of mesh with their lives. So for instance, I took a note of somebody's answer to turning points question. Okay, so for instance, if a person identifies her turning points by first her life in the army, then life as a street dyke, life, the third turning point was a period in her life when she was in and out of mental hospitals, the fourth was her life as a Metropolitan Community Church minister, all right? So, this same woman identified the turning points in the lesbian community as the Stonewall Riots and gay pride, all right? So that meant then, once we had this, that we kind of developed the interview starting with her life. Well, we always start with coming out, but then after we do this, and then start after that her life in the Army, and tried to go through a whole topic of things. The bars, your friendships, your lovers, your whatever, and during that period in the Army. And then we would move on to the period of the street dyke, you know, and that's how we kind of develop an interview. Ideally, you can't do it in one interview. You have to do three. And we try to encourage people to prepare for these interviews once it's set up, so that not that it's a surprise thing to them, that we want to know historical facts, you know, and things like that. So try and discuss it with your friends, think what you know, things like that. We encourage people to bring out photographs, stuff like that, right? I should say one thing, that this Turning Points idea was given to us by this woman, Anna Marie Troga. I don't know.
Anna Marie Troga, as in, where is she?
She's in Germany, doing oral history in Germany.
Yeah.
And their oral history project used it there. And it really helped us a lot in getting things together.
Liz, do you ask the Turning Points in the community stuff before you ask about their own life pattern?
We usually ask community and then their own life.
Why is that?
Because we're trying to get some sense of community life, what the community, how the community developed in Buffalo. And we felt that it was a good emphasis to make it clear that that's what we were interested in. Also, it took pressure off people from thinking that we were going to explore too deeply their personal fears. And like in our beginning interviews, even though we didn't want to, sometimes the questions made it sound like we were trying to figure out why they were gay, which was the furthest thing from our minds, you know?
Yeah.
But you want to know this, you want to know that, you know? And then suddenly any outsider would think that. So this was a way to move away from that a little bit. And people seem to relax a little bit once they talk. Although we've had some people who said there wasn't a community, but that's interesting in itself. Now, the people who can't get, there are some people who can't give us turning points in either. And so what we usually do then is do a mishmash of, and it's interesting how we do it, and I don't think it corresponds to other people's. We haven't tested it. We build their history on their relationships. All right? So the woman I gave the example of her turning point, she didn't mention one relationship in her turning points, right? It was Army, street dyke, in mental institutions, a metropolitan community church. Okay? She's a wonderful woman. Well, no, that's 40, 30 years. But a lot of women have some relationships as turning points. Fewer than we thought. All right, we thought it was going to be more, since we originally structured our history on, you know, it was easy. Okay, during this period you were going with so-and-so, what were you doing, you know? And we thought that's how people would name their turning points. It's not the dominant form, but it does appear somewhere. But when we don't have any other turning points and we want to engage in people's lives historically, that's how we started.
I think that's,
oh, there's one other thing on format that might be interest to people that we do. We keep a narrator's fact sheet, and I'll pass it around. Also, I have a copy of our summary of interview format. Here's the narrator's fact sheet, I'll pass it out. And we don't ask, it's the kind of questions like age, religion, parents, background, because we thought it might, there are 15 things like that there. How long have you been gay? Where have you been gay? In Buffalo, where else, you know? But we don't start, we thought that that would be good to have with the tapes, all right? But we don't start an interview or finish ever by going through these 15 short answers. When you're done with your tape, if you've done your job, you're supposed to be able to throw it out. And the reason why we moved to that again was that people kind of, it came out sounding like you were trying to figure out why they were gay, and it was very clear that it made people uncomfortable. So we moved that. It also got people in the habit of short answer questions, which we didn't really want.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we've eliminated that. But we did decide that it would be helpful for the future to have a kind of bare minimal factual information about who the people were.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I have on interview formats. Anybody want to ask anything about that or say anything?
My feeling is that I'm really fascinated and very interested by all this stuff, and I try to think about how we could apply it, and part of what keeps coming to my mind is that so far we haven't really made contact with a stable San Francisco community.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact some of this stuff isn't applicable to some of the people that we're running into.
The middle question wouldn't be at the one about what are the turning points in
the community,
people's lives, and what you think is important.
Yeah. I mean, they probably would have ideas, but their sense of community might be very different than what